Let's begin again. It's time for the third podcast today. Let's hit him with a theme song. Yeah. Let's see. Here we go. I can do it now.
Loitering in Wonderland, Westworld Review.
Hello, citizens. Welcome to Violent Ends, LAW. Oh, almost started it twice. LAW Westworld Review. This is episode 33 for 403. Anne Fol, I believe is how the French pronounce it. For, like, silly years? I don't quite know how that ties in. I took French in high school. It's been a long time. Bernard. Oh, I also went to France. That was fun. Didn't speak a lick of French there. Everyone spoke English. Really pointless. Anyway, I just watched episodes 403 and 404. Rather, I skimmed through them to make sure my notes make sense. So let's see if they did. Bernard is having a dream where he's following a horse. It's crazy and dreamlike. It's very dreamy. It's a dream, kind of. Echteka? Sorry, I don't know how to pronounce that guy's name. It's been since season two. It's been years. He greets him, the Indian dude. And he kind of basically is his guide to the sublime. Because he's just like, you hear, and everything's covered in these weird cobwebs. Even in the real world, everything has these cable-looking, cobweb-looking things. I said looking a little, few too many times there. But he goes, I've had a number of beers today. And I'm not as trash as I am when I do my solo Twilight Zone. But I am slowly getting there. So by 4:08, I'm going to be, then that fucking bitch was like dying and shit. And he's like, you're a robot. No, you're a robot. And they shoot each other. It's cool. That's what. So prepare for 4:08. Because I'm doing them all right now. After this set of two, I'll be halfway done. I can't wait. Anyway, he's just like, hey, you can, this is a version of the real world simulations. You can view all you want here, or you can just not go back to the real world. The choice is yours. So basically Bernard spends years just going over these possible scenarios of what can happen in the real world. And then he wakes up and I was waiting for him to look over at the tub. Because he's covered in dust. He's so badass looking. Because it was the last thing we saw in season three was him covered in dust. Waking up. But he looks over and he's just kind of like, oh. And then Stubbs is like, Elf, about goddamn time, man. I didn't think you'd do it. I didn't think you'd actually wake up. And I was like, he's alive? And I'm glad he is. Don't get me wrong. But I was like, I thought for sure he's just going to die in a bathtub. Because he was dying. That's what happened last time we saw him. And he tries to get out of the bed and he can't. He's, yeah, I don't know if his robot parts all dried up and needs some oil like the Tin Man and Wizard of Oz. I don't know. But he, you know, eventually he's like, hey, I was in the sublime for, he goes, you were in there for years, man. And he's like, you could have cleaned up. He's like, you're the one that told me not to disturb anything. But he tells Stubbs that he saw all possible worlds while he was in the sublime. And if certain events trigger, everyone will live. And based on the joke that Stubbs says when he woke up, when Bernard woke up, he goes, there, thank you for saying that. I've eliminated half of the options. And he keeps doing that throughout. The rest of the season is just Bernard going, thank you. Now I know how to, and this will happen. And it's, I don't know, it's kind of cool, but also kind of annoying. Like, I feel like in real life, you'd be like, shut the fuck up, man. Just let me, it's like a guy talking to you in a movie, telling you what's going to happen. And you're like, shut up. Can I just be surprised? Like, I get that you've seen this before. Like, literally life, you've seen it before. All possibilities, but let me be surprised, man. I don't have the superpowers you do. I didn't. You're just ruining everything. There'd be no joy around that man if this were reality. Anyway, they go. They take off. They go to a restaurant. And because Stubbs orders the tuna melt, humanity will survive. And he goes, you're telling me if I would have bought a BLT, would I be fucked? And he doesn't really say no. So I think so. I think if Stubbs ordered a BLT, humanity would be fucked. And I hate to spoil the end of the season, but it doesn't matter. Nothing matters. None of this matters. And that's kind of the downside of not having a real ending to your show. Yeah, Bernard goes outside and beats up a couple guys in the parking lot. We don't know why yet. We cut to Maeve and Caleb They're walking around the 1930s, and basically they're noticing that Maeve is noticing that it's the exact same setup, structure, and storyline of Westworld. The exact same things are happening. She goes into her tavern. She's sitting there. She sees herself. She see, or they're called Temperance. So she sees Temperance Maeve, Temperance Clementine, and then eventually Temperance Hector shows up. That's later, though. You know what? Fuck, I'm just going to say it now. I'll go out of order with my notes. Who cares? Temperance Hector shows up, and he does the whole thing. You know, he shoots the cop, and they're all shooting him outside. The girl with the dragon tattoo is outside killing him, too, the cops. Only this time they have Tommy guns, and the cops are in cars. And then they get the safe down. And then he's like doing his little speech to Maeve, like, yeah, I love her. I'm so sexy. And then Maeve just shoots him in the neck and is like, sorry, dear. And then shoots Temperance Maeve in the fucking forehead. And then eventually they just go down to the dead body chute, which just sounds like a ball down there. You know, when you hear the phrase dead body chute, you know shit's fucked up and you're not somewhere you should be. If they have so many dead bodies, they need a chute. And they have built a chute to necessitate that many dead bodies. It's become such an issue, we have to escort these bodies elsewhere to take care of. We can't just do it one at a time because there's too many of these dead bodies that we need a whole chute system and wagons. And like the laundry carts that you see in prison escape movies, or in scenes when they prison escape, and they get under there and they hide and they get wheeled to the truck and they get out. It's that whole fucking thing down there. That's how many dead bodies they got. It's never a good sign. I don't want to be in that position in real life. Caleb's wife and daughter, because Caleb already left, they're getting escorted to a safe zone, to a safe house, by some guy named Carver. The daughter notices that her bear, the most clever bear name for a stuffed animal, she notices it's covered in blood. And she's like, yeah. Okay, and she kind of like, I'll put that in the back burner, and I will look for further clues. She doesn't overreact. She's just kind of, she's very calm about it, very methodical with her investigation. Noted, and I will continue to investigate Carter at this point. She does eventually foul a blood pool, and she finds Carver's body like wrapped in like a potato sack, just in the dumpster. And I was like, is this robot Carver this bad at hiding his crime? He just left a trail of blood for whoever is in the house, not your house, to follow the house of the people you're trying to take to kill. I guess he was supposed to kidnap them so they can use them as leverage to get Caleb back, because they want Caleb for something. I mean, we do find out in a little bit here in the next episode, I believe, why she wants Caleb. And who she is that I'm referring to. I'm setting up mysteries, just like the show is. I'm not going to tell you for an episode and a half. How do you like that? I'm Westworld. So, yeah, she finds the Carter dead, and then the Carver. And then the mom's like, what's wrong, honey? She's like, Carver's outside. He's fucking dead. If I'm blood everywhere. And she shows her hand, and there's blood everywhere. And the mom immediately hides her behind it because Carver walks in. And then she just believes her. And I was like, thank God. I hate one of my least favorite cliches is that it happens a lot in horror movies where the crazy shit happens. And for no reason, the main character or the main character's parents just go, oh, you're crazy. You're just not sleeping enough lately. Instead of just being like, hold on, what? Like, show me. Because in this, the daughter's like, here's my fucking bloody hand. And the mom's like, yep, believe in you. Hide behind me. It was so satisfying. Man, I hate that cliche. I really do. It bothers me because it does is add an extra 20 minutes of tension with the parents in horror movies. That's all it does. And this show is like, yeah, she believes her, and we move on because it's true. So do we need the fake? And that's the biggest problem, is that it's fake tension. It's not. We know it's real. The character knows it's real. Why is having the parents not believe them for the first act? Why is that going to be satisfying for the audience? I just don't understand. I never understood that. I mean, there definitely are points where, like, I get like, oh, okay. But they don't. The problem with the cliche is they don't even bother hearing them through. They don't. They cut them off when they first start talking about it. And they just go, just go to bed. I don't want to hear about it right now. I got a busy day at work tomorrow. They don't even let them finish the thought. and it happens every goddamn time. And it's so nice when I see something that doesn't follow that cliche. I know I'm spending an inordinate amount of time on this, but I really appreciate them getting rid of that cliche here. Thank you. Thank you, Westworld. If nothing else from season four, that's what I want to thank you for. That will be it. That will be my last. No, I'm kidding. So I'll continue with that later. Bernard, he stops a car on the road, and he's like, hey, you want to pick us up? We're the men you're supposed to meet. Yep. I didn't just kill him and throw him in the back of our car. Nope. And the whole time, Ashley has a shovel because he told him to get it in the beginning. And then she's like, all right, hop in. She immediately pulls a gun on him. Bernard did say that this woman is the key to saving the world. She pulls a gun on him, and she's like, why should first one of you guys, because I know you're not the guys I was supposed to pick up. So the first one of you talks lives. The other one gets a bolt between the eyes. And he goes, you're not going to do that. And she goes, why? He goes, because he has your gun. And then, you know, Ashley Stubbs takes it. And then they have guns pointing at each other. And he goes, here, take this. And he hands him the bag. He goes, that was the head of the guy who you're supposed to meet. And she looks at its robot head. Because he sees that little brain ball. That little white thing that holds it. I guess it's bulletproof. Because how else are they not constantly shooting out their robot brain ball in Westworld? Because their heads are always exploding. And they never lose their robots. Like the downloaded data. They don't lose the person. I know they have backups, but... Because when you see them crush one of the balls, it happens in the previous season where they crush Hector's ball. And it's like, and it's kind of, it looks like it's made out of gum, like gummies, like, or powder. It's crazy, crazy fragile. And at the end of the season, she does it a couple, like, and it's just like this gooey, powdery thing. And it's like got no resistance to it at all. I'm like, how are they not constantly shooting this thing out? And why is a gooey brain ball, is that good for saving data too? I think a solid metal ball that just stores like carved in data or the chip inside of it, something secure, not just a goddamn gobstopper with data inserted into it somehow. I don't really get into the brain ball, how that works, but it's on the front cover of season 4 Blu-ray though. So it looks like goddamn candy. I don't quite understand the logic of what they're doing with that ball, but I guess I don't really need to. Basically, the scene, let me just fast forward through this because I'm spending too much time on this. Bernard tells her to take them to the Condemned Lands, which sounds like a good sci-fi Mad Max ripoff because there's 1,000 of those movies. And she's like, oh, what's there? And he's like, your base. I know where your base is. Your guys are there. Take me there. We'll meet up with them. She's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Coincidentally, and unrelated to what you just said, my men will kill you if I take you there. Not saying they are there, but they will for sure kill you. Anyway, let's go there anyway, because you talked me out of it in 3 seconds. Because then they arrive, and there's like these weird-ass laser doors. It's just whatever. Back to Maeve and Caleb. This is when Temperance Hector shows up, and they kill him. And they go in the chute, so I could skip that note, because I already did. But once they're down in the chute, they realize they built the Westworld massacre into the game, which is such a fun idea that they think, like, Caleb's like, we gotta get out of here, this is the revolt. And he's like, no, they built, Maeve's like, no, they built the Westworld revolt, like the massacre. None of this is real. Because even you hear the guests there, and they're like, this must be the secret level. Like, she says it really loud and obvious. Like, I got it. Okay. But then they stumble upon down below. I don't know why they're doing this here and why you can just waltz in there, but they're making the evil flies down there. We haven't seen them since the opening scene of season, episode 401, when they take out a Mexican Josh Hartnett that I called him. But the flies, they find out they're doing, like, tests on people where they infect them with the flies and they make them kill themselves. It's over and over and over and over and over. I don't know why you need to do that more than once and be like, yeah, it's clearly working. That guy shot himself in the goddamn head. I mean, do the whole first batch of people and make sure it works. But after that, do you really need to keep doing it? It just seems like a waste of humans at this point. And I guess if you're enslaving the human race, you have plenty to go around. You have plenty of test subjects. But I don't know. How many times are you going to do that before you're like, yep, flies are working. Flies seem to be pretty good. Humans like to live. And the flies are making them, you know, not do that anymore when we tell him not to do that anymore. I basically just said, kill yourself, and the guy totally did it right away, every single time. But, you know, let's keep doing some tests on it. See what happens. Oh, he shot himself again. Cool. Mark that down. 6 million people killed themselves because of these flies. Well, let's keep going. Caleb sees a robot version of his daughter, and she's doing the same thing that they saw one of the guys kill himself doing. I don't remember what it was. It doesn't fucking matter. And because immediately I was like, that's not his daughter. That's a robot. Because we already saw his daughter was dealing with the robot Carver. So I'm not worried at all for her. And then turns out that's what it was, because Maeve breaks some glass and shit and gets him in there. And she's, I mean, it happens at the end, but she's like, she wants you, daddy. Hale wants you. And her face turns into a robot. Like, opens up. Flies come out into Caleb's mouth. The Man in Black shows up, though, and fights with Maeve. And then she shoots him. And he's like, I'm not the man I was. Frankie, I'm going to go a little all over the place right here. Frankie tells Caleb that Hale's, I already said that, real Frankie's, back to Frankie's mom. She believed the daughter. She got the gun out of the safe that we saw in the first episode. Good thing, Chekhov's fucking gun to a T, gets the gun and kills Carver, shoots him and runs away. And then I wrote Frankie full of bees because Frankie's face opens up full of bees. So they're out of danger now. They got rid of Carver. But then we see Megaforce show up to Bernard and Stubbs. And I call it a Megaforce. I don't know if you've seen the movie Megaforce. It's from the 80s. Maybe, no, it feels very 70s. It's got to be 79, right? It's Barry Bostwick. It's a Hal Needham movie. I did it on B-Movie Battle. You can check it out on Lloyd in Wonderland YouTube channel. I believe the full commentary is still there. You can watch the whole movie with me. But I watched it, and it's a stupid, fun movie. It is a fun, stupid movie, and I had a blast watching it. It's the reason Adam got a hold of me to be on the shows, because he liked that I watched Megaforce. I don't want to say he liked my Megaforce review. I'll say he liked that I watched Megaforce, because he just watched it, and he was like, yes, this guy knows about Megaforce. That was the basis of our whole relationship. They show up, and they're talking to Bernard, and they have a whole thing, and we'll get to him in the next episode, because that's really where they come into play, is in the episode 404. Episode not found. So until next time, and in the meantime, I'm Phoenix West. So long, citizens.